Andy had spent a long and fitful night trying in vain to find a comfortable position on the ground. The itching was so intense that he could not help scratching the bites. That made them burn worse than before. He could see better than the evening before, but he still felt as if he were peering through a slit in a wall. Andy figured it must be around noon when Len finally appeared, following tracks from the south. He reined up and stared at Andy as if he were an apparition.
You look like wild horses have stomped on you.
Don't get too close to that windmill. There's a jillion wasps in there, and every one of them is mad.
You let a few little old wasps do all that to you?
When they hit you, you'll think they're the size of a cow. My horse threw me, then ran, losing my blanket and rope.
I'll see if I can find them.
Len had roasted bacon on a stick.
I'm fixing to do something about that wasp's nest.
He pulled several handfuls of dry grass and wrapped them around the end of a thin, dead branch from a mesquite. He dipped the grass into the fire. He then carried the blazing stick to the windmill tower. He shoved it under the nest. A few wasps came out, but most were consumed by the fire. The flames licked upward along the tower's wooden leg, burning the oil spilled from the top.
Uh-oh.
Len stepped back.
Looks like I've just played hail.
Throw some water on it.
Too late for that, even if I had a bucket.
Len backed further away from the heat.
I think me and you had better mosey along. Jericho's apt to be a little put out about his windmill.
Len saddled Andy's horse as Andy folded the blanket and tied it behind the cantle. Swinging up onto the horse, he felt stiff. The two horses and the mule danced uneasily, fearing the fire. Len kicked sand over the small blaze on which he had fixed Andy's meager breakfast.
They saw this. They'd know somebody camped here and set fire to the windmill.
How else would it have burned?
Lightning.
Squinty-eyed, Andy looked up but saw no clouds.
Yeah, they'll sure be fooled all right.
Together, Andy and Len rode south. After they traveled a couple of miles, Len spotted trouble.
Four riders coming our way, Andy.
Andy's vision had not improved enough for him to see them.
It's too late to hide. Let's just play innocent.
Len always had an innocent look about him, even when he was the guiltiest. As the horsemen came near enough for Andy to see them, he noted that a large man rode half a length ahead of the others.
Now I bet that's Jericho.
Yep. You're about to meet the big stud his own self. Don't act like you give a damn. He built himself a little empire by making people afraid of him.
From what I've heard, they've got a right to be afraid.
Me and you can't afford to be. Show him the feather and he'll ride plumb over you.
Jericho Jackson looked to be more than 6 feet tall and stocky enough to weigh considerably over 200 pounds. He wasn't fat, simply large. He rode a gray horse bigger than those of the three cowboys beside him. He had a reddish complexion and hair and beard of a strong rust color, not unlike Rusty Shannon's. His dark brown eyes fastened first on Andy, then on Len with a startling intensity. He recognized Len, though he probably could not have called him by name.
Ranger, ain't you strayed a long ways from where you belong?
Rangers go anywhere they want to.
Any place but my ranch. You looking for somebody?
Maybe. Who you got?
Andy recognized two of the riders. They had been with the men the Mexicans had chased back across the river. One leaned to Jericho and said something Andy couldn't hear.
Seems like you've already made the acquaintance of my boys. They say you took something that belongs to them.
The guns? If they'll stop at that little jib joint of a store, they can get their property back.
You look like you've been run through a coffee grinder, boy. You a ranger, too?
Private Andy Pickard. My horse drug me a ways.
Probably because you took him where you and him wasn't supposed to be. You rangers are always poking into my business, coming on my land without so much as a by your leave. But when you're needed, you ain't nowhere around.
When did you ever need us?
Mexican outlaws murdered my wife's nephew. Never gave him a chance. It was one time we could have used your help and you wasn't here.
That's the first we've heard about it.
And it won't be the last. I'm sending a protest to Austin.
They'll be tickled to hear from you.
He was an orphan boy. My poor wife set a lot of store by him. I'll see that Lupe Chavez pays for what they done. When I do, you rangers had better stay out of my way.
We can't, not if you break the law.
It's a damn poor law that says you can't kill a Mexican when he needs it. Far as I'm concerned, it's open season the year round on every saddle-colored son of a bitch this side of the river. Now, you men are trespassing. By rights, I could shoot both of you.
Those who try to keep the Rangers away have usually got something they don't want us to see.
You all are starting to aggravate me. People with any sense are careful not to get my blood stirred up. Next time, stay off of Jericho's road. We've been watching some smoke yonder. You know anything about it?
And we noticed it, too. Grass fire, more than likely. You ought to caution your boys not to be careless with their smoking. They could burn up the whole country.
Jericho pointed eastward. His manner was stern.
That's the shortest way off of my land.
Len pointed south. His manner was stubborn.
We're headed back to the river.
He started, and Andy followed.
I said east.
Act like you don't even hear him, Andy. He's a land grabber and a thief, but he's too much of a man to shoot us in the back.